Jive Live, and it is 5:23. Let's welcome our guest, Ali Al-Assad, here from Yarmalava and Plethka. Ali, it's good to have you back.
Thank you for having me again.
So look, we're going to talk to you about a number of topics. If you have a question for Ali, generally real estate is where we kind of, I guess, focus most of our attention. But if you do need a legal perspective on something, Ali is here to help out. 4001 via the free app. You can call in if you would like to. Esther, as you were trying to say earlier.
You rudely interrupted me and turned my mic off.
And I apologize for that. I'm just a little bit trigger happy today. I'm trying to get on with things, you know, unusually trying to get through the day.
Yeah, maybe it's today I've got more to say than usual. Maybe that's what it is.
There's something in that. I think so. It's the Legal Hour. Oh, I just want to play.
Legal Hour on Drive Live.
Thank you. Now, statement from the Rental Dispute Centre saying that we can now apply for a rent reduction. It's not a new law, but Ali, this is going to be music to many people's ears. I think it's fair to say you perked up immediately. But you have some more clarification on this. So it is possible to ask a landlord for a reduction in rent. We all know that. You should be talking to your landlord on a regular basis. But tell us more. How do you go about doing that?
So basically, if you remember, even in this show, we always used to have a question like, whenever the indicator is showing that my rent is too high,
yes,
do I have the right to request a reduction in rent? The answer is always, as per the indicator is for rent increase, which means you cannot just rely on the indicator to claim that you have a right to reduce your rent. But in general, let's talk how the law is drafted. The law says that it's up to the committee, which is the committee at the RDC, to decide the rent whenever there is dispute between the parties.
Okay.
And if you see the provision itself, it doesn't clearly say like about increasing or reducing. It just talk about deciding the rent in general. So one of the statements that were released recently by the RDC upon an inquiry from the public saying that when can we request for the rent to be reduced? So the answer in general is that whenever there is a serious reason or a valid reason to believe that the rent need to be reduced, there is nothing in the law that prohibits you from filing such claim. So if we take the scenario, for example, like you have a one-year tenancy contract and it's about to expire. Okay, let's say you are paying X number and now you believe that your rent should be low, or like whatever you are paying is maybe like excessive, or it's like the property you are renting is not worth it that much. As you mentioned, like first recourse, by common sense, go to your landlord. A lot of landlords are reasonable, and if you bring them with the proper like proof, or like if you just have reasonable ground for your claim, I don't see like a reasonable landlord will say no. However, in the event you have the situation where there is a really valid reason for you to claim the reduction in rent and your landlord is just being uncooperative or non-responsive, then this is the time to consider approaching the authorities. But here we need to be careful about, like, we approach the authorities, which mean by filing a case at the rental dispute center, but what will be our proof or our claim? The claim will be reduction in rent, but what factors can we consider? The number one factor we can consider is, like, the status of the property itself. Because we can have a situation where you rent a property with certain standards, that after a certain time, like, the quality of the property collapsed for certain reason. Maybe the building is having, like, major maintenance issues. Then if you have proof that the property that you are renting for X amount is not worth it really that much, then that's the time maybe we can consider speaking to your landlord. And if the landlord does not respond, maybe you can approach the rental dispute center and file a case for that. Another scenario we can think about it, and it apply maybe more to commercial properties. Let's say you have a shop, you are like having a business like trading, restaurant or whatever, and your the location of your restaurant is on a main street. You have a contract for 2 years. The first year went well. At the end of the second year, maybe there is some kind of development in the area that will interrupt traffic or let the passengers flow inside in front of your restaurant. In this situation, the actual value of the property will severely drop. Maybe that's another scenario where you can request from the rental dispute center to consider like reducing your rent. And this situation, your proof will be like the reduction of the value itself, and maybe like the value of the area or the environment where your property is located. That's where you can, these like the scenarios we can think about for now. But just another note, this can happen only upon the expiry of the tenancy contract, not in the middle. So in the middle, we still believe that it cannot be done because it was mutually agreed.
Okay, so you mutually agreed for a contractual period. That's understood. You need reasonable grounds. One thing, though, you look at the rent, the calculator online, and it doesn't take into account factors like maintenance. It is still just by area. So you have no support from the rental calculator.
Basically, for the indicator, as we know, that is going now through like several updates, but it's not clear for us yet when it will be finalized. Because
we've heard that, haven't we, that it's going to take into account, you know, the age of buildings, perhaps... I don't know how many bedrooms it has, the facilities in the area, that kind of thing. But that's, we haven't seen
that. Yeah, till now we heard that there is updates, but till now we didn't see, I cannot say that it's fully updated. But what we noticed recently on the indicator that in certain areas in Dubai, whenever you click the area, you can click also by the building. Like, okay. Certain towers are already classified as like separate areas there.
Right.
But it's not, I cannot say that it's covering the entire Dubai so far. But in general, the plan is to make it more precise about the property itself, for example, the view, the quality of the building, the facilities you have in the project, because we know these may vary severely from a building to another, even in the same area.
And Ali, what kind of money would you expect this to cost someone? So if someone decides, look, I'm definitely paying too much, my landlord's not cooperating, I want to take this case, how much is it going to cost someone to do that?
So basically, for the rental cases, you don't need it's not necessary for you to have a lawyer to represent you. So you can represent yourself, but be mindful that whatever documents or pleadings you have to submit, it should be in Arabic. So if you don't speak the language, maybe you need someone to prepare it for you. During the hearings, usually you have a translator. So even if orally you cannot speak Arabic, there is someone there to assist. So here we can take off the lawyer's cost because, you know, like, representation through a lawyer might be like sometimes expensive. So it may demotivate people from filing sometimes. But actually, if we want to go like by the minimum cost, basically we have just whatever typing fees, you will have a couple of hundred dirhams maybe, and later you have the filing fees of the RDC, and the filing fees are said to be 3.5% of the annual rent.
Okay. We're going to come back to talk some more about this in a moment. Also, your questions on 4001. There's one here in particular. We'll try to answer this. A tenant absconding without paying rent. We'll come back and talk about that. Ali Al-Assad is here from Yamal Ever and Pleska on The Legal Hour.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live. Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
A repeat of the competition, which is running all week this week. But in particular, today, we're asking the song Summer in the City was sung by which group? 1965. Answer that. 4001, free app, 4231010. Put your name on there if you're calling or if you are texting. Now, you can win a two-week summer camp for one child aged 5 to 12. It's worth nearly 900 dirhams across Legoland Dubai, Legoland Waterpark, Motion Gate Dubai, Bollywood Parks Dubai, Playtown, Hub Zero. Programs are customized there for age groups. If you call 800 Amazing, you can get more details.
More information.
Which has thrilled us today here, it has to be said. More details at DubaiPartsandResorts.com. Who sang this in 1965? There you go.
I think you're being a bit mean on how much of that you're playing, but fine.
I think I'm playing too much of it, to be honest.
Do you think so?
You judge by it.
But no. it's not guess the song title. So we're just asking for the band's name.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, if you don't know it, you don't know it.
Okay.
Got to be in it to win it.
Okay. Well, yes, though, exactly. Play more of it. It's not going to give the answer away.
Happy?
Yes. Happier.
1965 it was. Sally Moose behind that today. But text us if you know who sung that. 1965. That's what you can win with today. Now, we're in the Legal Hour. Ali Al-Assad is here from Yamalaba and Plethka.
Legal Hour on Drive Live.
We were talking just now about a statement from the Rental Dispute Centre, the RDC, as it's colloquially known. We can now apply for rent reductions. Not a new law, but more clarification on that. Ali Al-Assad talking about that just now. Then we were saying, get your questions in. Number of questions to get through. Let's jump into those now. Ali, question for you. My tenant absconded without paying the rent and the apartment's been legally handed back over by the courts. That's the first thing to say. Question is, who's responsible for the outstanding DEWA bills and Empower bills? Additionally, how would I obtain clearance for both of those? Thanks.
So basically, we quite see this situation from time to time. Whenever you have a rental case about eviction against a tenant, and if the tenant is not there, we always recommend one part. Whenever you want to claim, for example, like the eviction of the property, also claim that the tenant should provide you a final bill from the utility providers. Why do we need that? Because basically, if we talk as, let's say, utilities provider, there is a contract between the utility provider and the tenant. So legally speaking, is the tenant is the one who should pay it.
Mm.
But what will happen, like now you, the tenant is not here anymore. You don't have any financial way to collect the money from him. Maybe you have a deposit, but I believe it may not be enough to cover this stuff. So what will happen, you as a landlord, legally speaking, you are not bound to pay this amount. But what will happen, you will rent this property to a new tenant. This new tenant is not going to be able to connect utilities to his to the property unless all the outstanding is cleared, which means it will end up being a fight between you and the new tenant who will pay it. Otherwise, the tenant is not going to be able to use the property. So what we recommend in this situation, whenever you are making the tenancy contract, put like a as much as reasonable deposit for you to cover these scenarios. Second of all, whenever you are moving again with the new tenant, put it in the contract like who will be responsible for this stuff. If the tenant say, I'm not going to be responsible for it, our advice, you as a landlord, you have to take it on yourself and try to chase the previous tenant for it.
So, Ali, with that, so the DWA contract, I thought the tenant would pay a deposit to DWA for that. Would they not try to use that towards the outstanding bill?
Basically, as long as there is a deposit, we have no problem. But the problem starts whenever there is the amount that exceeds the deposit. That's where we have a situation that there is money that needs to be paid by someone. If the old tenant is not there, like either the landlord or the new tenant will have to pay.
Is that why you see landlords, some landlords, this happened in my case actually, it was the house that I live in now. My deposit was a number of thousand dirhams. It was doubled a few years ago. And I, you know, we were left with the situation thinking, well, hold on. Could it have been that somebody had done that and they'd used a higher deposit to pay off bills like that, for example?
Yeah, in general, I am not going to be surprised if this is the case, because if you see the law itself doesn't put like a maximum or minimum for the deposit. The deposit is something that's more developed in practice. Like a landlord usually will see in his practice, let's say we have a landlord who have like say 50 property. In general, how much liability he end up with the by property at the end of the tenancy contract, that's how he will set the deposit. And basically, like, we know that it's sometimes like 5% or 10%, and then that's what we see in practice.
Yeah.
But if, for example, like, we start seeing, like, let's say a certain lender will start seeing that every time he have a tenant leaving the property, he always have a problem with the utility bills, I'm not going to be surprised if such landlord will come and say, I need a higher deposit, because he got burned already, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And just finally on that one, to get the clearance, there's just a letter from the companies, and then they can set up a new account for the new tenant. Is that right?
So I don't.
So on the original question, he's asked, how would I obtain clearance for both, so the DWA bill and the Empower? Once it's paid, whether the landlord pays it themselves or the new tenant, that's when you can start a new contract.
Yes, whenever the, because every unit have a serial number for the utilities. Whenever this number will show that there is no outstanding, you can file the new one easily.
Okay. We've got a question in from Tariq as well. He says, can real estate agencies legally charge any fee for contract renewal? So maybe you've decided to stay on another year. Can they charge fees?
So basically here we need to differentiate between two type of fees. The first one, like usually, let's say you are moving for the first time to a property. You go and hire a broker to find you the property. So the broker obligation role is to introduce you to the landlord or to find each other. So for that time, usually you pay, for example, let's say 5% of the rent or something. That's for the service he provided. When it comes to the second year, the broker is not introducing you anymore to each other because you already have the relationship. So all what you're doing, you are renewing the tenancy contract. So our position, in the event there is any type of like admin fees, which is usually a minor fee just for the paper process and stuff, we believe that the broker is entitled to charge it. But if the broker every year, upon every renewal, he want to charge the same percentage again, unless it's in the contract with you, we suggest you don't pay it.
And who would be responsible for that? Would it be the landlord or would it be the tenant?
It's the one who hired the broker.
Okay.
Okay. I moved into a villa 5 months back, somebody's asking. Signed a 2-year contract. The villa wasn't fully completed. Some locks on doors, minor works had been left. The landlord promised he'd finish them. It's been 5 months. He is really just putting things back, delaying. Can you advise how I go about getting these kind of snagging issues, really? How do you get those finished off?
So basically, the law usually say that whenever a landlord is providing a property to a tenant, it should be provided in a way where the tenant can enjoy it and benefit from it. However, it's allowed under the law sometimes to have an agreement between landlord and tenant that we are providing you this property, but there is minor, for example, work still to be done. And the contract should outline on which party the obligation to complete this stuff fall. Is it on the landlord or on the tenant? I assume in the situation we have it now in the question, I don't think there was an agreement about like who will cover this stuff. So as long as we are talking about minor stuff, let's say if you are talking about door, or especially if you are talking about internal doors, what we recommend for the tenant, like try to settle it, like to chase your landlord for it. In the event he doesn't finish this stuff, what we suggest, you finish it, keep the receipts, and later when it comes to the renewal of the tenancy, you have to deduct this amount from the rent.
Okay. So we've got another text in from Amir. This one is, my landlord doesn't respond to maintenance requests, and in my apartment, there's severe mould issues which are affecting my children's health. It's more than 2 months since I reported it to my landlord. Can I register a complaint at the Rental Dispute Centre and move to another apartment immediately and get the refund for the rent paid?
So basically, for maintenance issues in general, major maintenance is on the landlord, minor on the tenant, unless otherwise agreed. So if you never agreed otherwise that, where, for example, you agreed that as a tenant, I'll take care of all the maintenance, then it's the liability of the landlord. In the event the landlord doesn't answer your request or your claim for to maintain the property, what you can do in this situation, you have two options. Either you fix the property and you pay for it, and later you sue the landlord for the refund of the amount you paid to fix the property. Alternatively, and this we recommend, if the property is not usable anymore, we recommend that you file a case at the Rental Dispute Center requesting the termination of the rent under the argument of that the property provided to you is not usable. In this situation, if you have good proof that the property is severely affected or damaged, we believe you have a strong case.
Okay, but in an issue such as mold, for example, where there, where there is an influence on health and health standards, to go and fix that yourself and then try and claim that back, I suppose for a lot of people it could be quite a lot of money. Should you just go straight to the RDC and say, look, this is really too hard, my children are suffering, whatever the case is, and immediately file a case? Is that what you would advise?
Yeah, you can file the case immediately, but the issue why we mentioned that sometimes it's worth it to fix it by yourself, because also filing the case is not going to get you the judgment immediately.
Right.
The case needs some time, needs some expenses, and maybe there's an appeal depending on the amount of the case. So, like, if we're talking about a situation that mold, I can fix it by myself or like by on my own expense, like within like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe it's worth it to fix it and stay in the property to avoid the hassle of moving and finding another property. And later I have full of time to sue the landlord.
Okay. I want to file a lawsuit complaint against, it's one of the free zones actually, negligence on safety, lack of duty of care. This person says, I slipped on soapy water while I was at work. I hurt myself. I didn't get any help. There was no signage that this area had been cleaned. Do I have a chance? Am I wasting my time?
So, legally speaking, you mentioned that you had the accident while you are at work. Hmm. We need to differentiate whether like the water leak was inside the work premises or outside. Because if it's inside the work premises, that's the liability of your employer. So you have to sue your employer for compensation.
Okay.
If it's outside the premises of the work, then we have the common area, or let's say maybe like the gardens around the building, which is owned by the free zone you are talking about or whatever. In this situation, we have the right, like legally speaking, if there was any type of negligence or tort from the side of the party who's responsible over this area, being the free zone or maybe the management company, then yes, you have the right to file a case against them.
Okay.
How would you start doing that?
Every time you have a situation where you want to sue a governmental body, let's say a free zone is a governmental body, before you proceed to filing a court case, there is a step you have to do. You have to file a complaint against this body before the Legal Affairs Department of Dubai government. From there will be some kind of a mediation. In the event the mediation doesn't need to a settlement within 60 days, an NOC will be issued to you by the Legal Affairs Department. Using this NOC, you can proceed and file a court case.
Okay, hope that helps. That person that texted in, no name on that text. Another question in?
Yeah, there's one that's just come in now. There's no name on this one, Ali. It says, we were given notice to move out of a flat by our landlord. He said it was because he wanted to sell it. I then find out 6 months after we move out that the landlord has listed this out to another tenant. What are my actions, and can I receive anything from the landlord? Or is this the penalty that only applies to the landlord? So basically they're saying, we were asked to move out because the landlord wanted to move in. But really what they've done is lease it to someone else. What can they do?
We've seen this situation before. In general, the landlord, whenever he evict you for sale, in the event he doesn't sell it, in the event he rented again, we believe that there's some kind of like a misleading transaction from the side of the landlord, unless, for example, he can come with any alternative proof later on. But in general, whenever he takes you out to sell it, he's not supposed to rent it again. In this situation, you know, we believe that you have good ground to file a case for compensation. In this situation, the compensation will be whatever difference in rent you are paying now if you rented a similar property. So we don't want to have a situation where you are renting a two-bedroom apartment and you get evicted and later you go and rent a huge villa and sue for the difference, because this is not the landlord problem. But if you left two-bedroom to another two-bedroom and you paid, for example, let's say 20,000 dirham extra in cross and plus maybe 5,000 relocations fees and 5,000 brokerage fees, then yes, you can claim these amounts.
And it would be reasonable to do that?
Yeah, even the law provide for it.
Okay.
If you're a landlord, say, I mean, I understand that you can't do that. It's against the law to get somebody out because you're saying you want to sell it. But is there like a period of time, you know, say you've tried to sell it, it won't sell for the price that you want to put it up for. Like, is there like 6 months? Is there a year or something before you can put in a new tenant in there? How does it work?
So if we go back to the rental law of Dubai, it gives mainly two reasons for eviction at the end of the tenancy contract, which we always see it in practice, which is sale or intention to move to use the property by someone by himself. Usually, the law, it says whenever someone evicts the tenant for the purpose of using the property by himself, if we're talking about a residential property, the landlord should not re-rent it within 2 years.
2 years.
Okay. For sale, the law is silent, but as we know, in practice, the courts apply the same provision to the sale. So within 2 years, you should not rent it again unless there's a new landlord. However, like we can see, like reasonably speaking, if someone evicts the tenant according to situation in the market that now he can sell it. After 1 year and a half, he cannot sell it. If 1 year and a half pass, the chances for the tenant to get compensation, that's really slow. That's really low, because we have a landlord who kept the property empty for 1 year and a half trying to sell it, but at the end he couldn't. So we cannot say that there was a bad intention. But what we see it sometimes that they send you eviction notice for sale, and after you've retained the property by 20 days, the property is re-rented. We believe here there was a bad faith from the landlord's side.
Is that why most landlords would advertise somewhere for sale whilst there is a tenant inside it?
We've seen it a lot that landlords will advertise properties, and there is nothing wrong about it.
Yeah.
It's fine. And even let's say we have a situation where the landlord is marketing their property with a tenant inside and he sell it without sending a notice, that's fine. Your contract will be transferred from the first landlord to the new landlord. You as a tenant, you will not be affected.
Okay, we're going to come back and talk more about health and safety. We can clarify where that health and safety issue happened.
Yep.
We'll come back and talk about that in a moment. Timmy Z has texted in. I'm liking that name, I have to say. It's the Legal Hour. Ali Al-Assad is here. More to come.
We want to hear from you. Find us on Facebook. Tweet at Dubai Eye 1038 FM.
Drive Live and the Legal Hour. Our guest is Ali Al-Assad from Yamanova and Pleska, 4001, or via the free app to ask a question. Put your name on there.
Legal Hour on Drive Live.
Now, some more information about that health and safety issue that somebody texted in a little while ago. Let me just rephrase the question. I want to file a lawsuit complaint against a free zone. This person believes they were negligent and had a lack of duty of care. Slipping on soapy water while at work, injured myself, didn't have any help. There was no signage for the water. This person said, do I have a chance in this suit, or am I wasting my time? We needed to know a few bits and pieces extra. Here's the subsequent text. Thank you for the information. It was a roof leakage. It was a puddle of soapy water. The ground floor where the security reception sits. Is that a common area? Ali Al-Assad, here you go.
Okay, here we need to go a little bit technical, because here we need to clarify the main part, that in a building, we have a common area where security guy will sit of the building. So if the accident happened in this building, then this is not the liability of the free zone, because here we have a developer or the management company of the building.
Okay.
While if we are talking about a common area that's not belong to the tower, it belongs to the free zone itself, then the free zone is the one liable for it. And also you can, in your case, you can file against the management company. So you can put the management company and the free zone together in the same case.
All right. Hopefully that's an answer that helps there. Thanks, Ali.
Yeah, there's another one here. It says, I rented a villa in JVT, but the yard was a complete sandy mess. I paid to fix it, and now it's a proper grass backyard. Can I reduce this money that I've spent from the rent?
In the event the contract doesn't show, for example, that there is a defective or there is a problem in the garden, then we cannot, because the idea is that you sold the property, and having a backyard full of grass is not a mandatory report for you to be able to enjoy it. As long as this point was not tackled in the contract, we have the situation that you're not going to be able to collect your money.
Do you think it's worth, like you've said on the other issues, rental reductions, do you think it's worth having a conversation with the landlord and saying, look, I'm wanting to do this to the backyard. Do you think maybe we could look at splitting the money, or maybe you give me some money towards it? Is that an option?
Yeah, as an amicable settlement without following the legal process, yeah, then there is nothing prohibitive from discussing this stuff with your landlord, because the idea you can sell to your landlord is, now you are giving me a property with an empty backyard. What I'm going to do, let's say, generally speaking, this one will cost me 100,000 dirham. I'll pay 50,000, you will pay 50,000. I'll benefit from the property whenever I'm there. And later, whenever I'm leaving, the property level will be high, because now you have a proper or a decent backyard. You will be able to rent it for more money in the future. If you have someone reasonable, I think you should reach an agreement, yes.
Okay. Timmy Z is texting him. Whose responsibility is it to renew a rent contract? They renew automatically, don't they? Generally
basically
speaking,
if we have a tenancy, let's take Dubai as an example. Like, if you have a tenancy contract for 1 year, it finished, you keep using the property, the landlord doesn't ask you to go out, the tenancy contract is renewed automatically for the same period.
Mm. Okay. Unless they've...
for the same period or 1 year, yeah.
Okay. Usually that's the case. And if there was, I don't know, if you have an argument about that with your landlord, you went to the rent committee and nothing had happened, you have the basis of a strong legal argument that that should have happened.
Yeah, contracts always are renewed automatically. Right. So the contract in Dubai, rent tenancy contract in Dubai, will keep renewing itself automatically unless we have one of the situations where it becomes, to me, which means, let's say, violation from the tenant. Let's say he's not paying rent, or there's an abuse of the property, or the landlord is moving in or selling the property. As long as we don't have any of the, like, 15 situations mentioned in the law, the contract will keep running.
Okay, there's a question from Tariq. It's quite a complex one in 2 points, so I'll go slowly. Basically, in our community, Empire is now providing chillers from 2016 to 17. Previously, it was under the landlord. We made a lump sum payment with the rent to the landlord. Now, Empower is also charging for quarterly charges, as well as a fixed charge for consumption. Should we pay the fixed charge on a quarterly basis?
We go back to the contract when it comes to the utilities. Whose obligation is it? If we are talking about something related to consumption, then it's the tenant, unless the contract shows that the landlord is paying it.
Okay, and the second part of that is, if you're not liable for the quarterly charge, which is for the meter line and other structural costs, where should this complaint be registered? And Tariq says, I've already talked to the landlord and they said we can't do anything other than go to Empower.
In the event you have a situation where you either have to make a payment that you are not legally bound to pay it, otherwise you cannot use the property, as discussed previously in the previous questions, that either you advance it from your own pocket and later you sue the landlord for it, or in the event there is something major and you cannot advance it from your side, and as a result of this situation you cannot use the property, then this is the time where you can consider filing a case to early terminate the tenancy contract.
We're running short of time. Time for, I think, two more questions. Let's ask you this one, Ali. What are the applicable health and safety laws for an airline operating out of Dubai?
If we are talking about stuff that apply inside the body of the aircraft, let's say in the passengers area, we're not talking about the terminal or any of the lounge. If we're talking about the aircraft itself, generally speaking, the aircraft is considered to be part of the country where the aircraft is registered. So we have to see whatever laws they have there, and from there we can know exactly, like, what are the measures that will apply. If we are talking about something outside of the plane, then it's the law of the country.
Okay, that's that. Two more questions here. One from Alan, first of all, I guess.
Yeah, Alan says, in a court case, can the payer refuse to comply with the execution payment in a property case?
Sorry, if you can repeat the question, Alan.
Alan says, if there's a court case, can the payer refuse to comply with the execution payment? And this is relating to property cases.
Okay, if I got your question properly, we have a property case where you end up with a judgment in your favor. And let's say this judgment is already final and cannot be reversed. You have to file for enforcement. Upon enforcement, the court, they will serve the enforcement claim to the other party, let's say whoever you are suing. And at that time, they will have the right to pay amicably within 15 days. In the event the period of 15 days expires without any payment, under the UAE laws, you have the right to inquire about their assets with the court, and the court will seize these assets, auction them, and from there your money will be paid. However, during this process, there is something called challenges or computations that can be filed by the party who lost the case, requesting, for example, like, to pay by installments. And depends on the situation, like the financial situation and the amount of debt we are talking about. Sometimes a judge may approve, like, an installment plan, depending on case-by-case situation.
Okay, final question for today. Lou's texted in. Major maintenance like ACs, heaters. I was asked to pay or buy the heater tank. Is that legal?
as per the agreement of the parties. Basically, general, major maintenance on the landlord, minor on the tenant, unless you agreed otherwise. If you agreed otherwise, then we have to follow whatever we have in the contract.
I recently moved, and it was interesting that some places would say there's no maintenance contract, and if you want to stay there, you have to do the maintenance contract, and that would obviously be written into the agreement. And other places said, no, there is a maintenance contract, but like you said, tenant, maybe up to the value of 500 dirhams, say, is a responsibility of the tenant, and anything above that is for the landlord. So unfortunately for Lou, if it's not in the contract,
if it's not in the contract, and here we have a dispute like whether like the heater tent will be considered as major or minor. In our knowledge, if we're talking about the water heater, this is not minor, this is major, because you have to change something like related to the structure of the building. It's not just like a water tap or like a power switch or something like
but
that.
But if there's no allowance in the contract that the landlord is responsible for the major maintenance,
I believe we still have an argument.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Lou, there's your answer. Thank you for texting in. Thank you, everybody, for texting in today. Loads of questions. I think we got through most of them, actually. Ali Al-Assad's from Yamanova and Pleska. It's always good to have you here, Ali. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Our pleasure.